Donald Brass Sachs, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning, ma'am.
I'm speaking, actually, the two callers prior to the last caller there just now, in light of the lining up of the supermarket. I personally believe as well, forgetting about who's crowding here, who's crowding there, I think that people are overreacting, because if we just went into the supermarket and we shop, people are standing too close to each other, and in this crisis that's going on all over the world, we have to stop these people that are calling in so political. We have to stop this and know that it's a crisis, whether it's B, D, or L. We have to come together and stop blaming each other. And what you just said is the valid point, and I rest my case. Stop crowding and doing as though food is going to sell out. It's just, if you just shop, you don't need to line up like that again. And then they're going so close to each other to me or spreading the virus more. I rest my case, sir. Have a good day. And we need to work together and stop blaming the government and blaming other people. Work in unity and we will get the job done. It's a crisis global. It's nothing to do with the government. Have a good day, Mr. Ellis.
You say globally? You really can't be serious. I think that you got to recognize that many, many mistakes were made. Mistakes made by the government and mistakes made by us, the people. I can't support this notion that all this blame must go one side or the other. And from the very beginning, I made the observation that, you know, there's more than enough blame to go around. Let's be realistic about it. No? Let's recognize the truth of our experience. And while you say others shouldn't be political, you know, you run the risk of people believing that you are being political in your assessment of it. I mean, it makes no sense us running from our reality and our truth. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good morning, David.
Yes, morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine.
How can I help?
I have listened to you over the last couple of weeks and also to the press conferences too. I got the impression that you were advocating for pause, lockdown, whatever you want to call it, right? You were for that.
I was calling for some kind of action in light of the fact that there was a strong suspicion that the variant was here. I recognize that we could not continue with business as usual. I wouldn't say that I was specifically calling for a lockdown, but I knew that something else had to be done. And what I was critical of was that we appear to be taking too long to come up with a plan of action after we had recognized that there was community spread. I'm having difficulty hearing you. You seem to be breaking up a bit.
No, I said I do not agree with the lockdown.
You're entitled to your view.
Right. I think we could have extended the curfew. We could have allowed a six to six work period and a 6 to 6 curfew. That's my belief. Because, David, let me be very honest with you, right? You know, I know some people are going to get offended, but, you know, I am guaranteeing you that if this had gone to a referendum about this, I guarantee you 60, 70, 80% of this country would not have agreed to a lockdown. Now, people are going to get offended by what they say. But, you know, the head people that are calling for a lockdown in this country, right, are people who are comfortable, whether people would like it or want to hear it or not. They're comfortable because they're going to be paid their salary either weekly or monthly or bi-weekly, and they are okay. But, David, let me tell you something. A vast majority of people in this country depend on a day-to-day or week-by-week to survive in this country. And whether people like it or not, it's going to be very, very difficult for people. Very, very difficult. I'm a small business person, and my business has not recovered since the last lockdown. And it is going to be very, very difficult. So I think it should have been a 12-hour lockdown and a 12-hour work period to allow people to still function. And this thing is going to play mentally on people's minds. That is the other aspect that a lot of people are not looking at. Mentally, this is going to play on people's minds. So I have listened to you over the last few weeks in press conferences, and they really thought you were pushing very hard and low. Push out.
Let me say to you. But let me say something to you. We are stuck between a rock and a hard place. We have one of three variants already established in Barbados. From where I sit, I must tell you that I am hearing about this COVID thing springing up all over the place. I can also tell you that within my family circle, there is at least one person, and there's a possibility that there may be another. They're not, in close proximity to me. This thing is coming home to many, many people. I am of the view that if something was not done to break the cycle, then this thing would spread exponentially in Barbados. And that our health, sir, you talk.
Okay, you go ahead.
Let me talk mine. All right? This country has limited resources. We have seen a situation where our ability to test has fallen down. And that inability to test people has presented a threat, a major threat, because there are a lot of people out there who are asymptomatic and have been going about their business and in the process spreading this disease. You have just had the story coming from the Minister of Health that somebody in the geriatric hospital has tested positive and they don't know how they got it. I am saying to you that going in the direction that you are talking about, your business is also going to be affected by that. Because if you have every 5 minutes, a business has to close here, a business has to close there and reopen and that sort of thing. And people, it has played on people's minds in that respect too. So it is not only from your angle, we are caught between a rock and a hard place. However you swing, you're in trouble.
But David, that is why I said to you, I believe majority to me, I would say majority of the mingling and the when I suspect that a lot of the virus would probably be around, is probably between those times when people are out, bars, that kind of time. But that's why I believe the 12-hour shutdown, 12-hour curfew would be a better thing to start.
I don't agree with you. I'll tell you why I don't agree that that's going to work. I find that people have a way of trying to cheat the system. So if the curfew starts at 6 o'clock, the fetting and the drinking will start at 3 o'clock so that they have at least 3 hours to get inside there and do something. All right. Everybody, there are a lot of instances where people are doing their best to see if they can circumvent things like that. So, and the other point I want to make to you is this. I hear people talk about policing this and policing that. Barbados does not police things well. There's nothing that you can look from ZR's right through. We do not police things well. So that's why I don't agree with it.
What do you think is going to happen after the 17th?
Well, after the 17th, it gives us the opportunity, first of all, to pause, to do the contact tracing. A lot of contact tracing needs to be done because even there, we seem to have fallen down. There are people who have been in touch with other people and they have not been able to get anybody come to them, because the contact tracing is overwhelmed as well. And all of this is pushing us in a direction where far too many people can become ill and our hospital capacity can be compromised in a serious way. That is what you got to look at.
Well, as I said, I just looking at it from the point of view, I think we could have started with the 12 to 12. And let's see how that looks, and then probably go. But to go straight to the lockdown from next week, I think it's difficult. I think it will be difficult. Anyhow, David, I respect you and thank you.
It will be difficult, but let me say something to you. In all of this, The reason, when the government goes to Parliament and extends the emergency, remember the context in which government extends this emergency. It is called a public health emergency. It is because the people who are charged with the responsibility of advising on health matters, they are the ones who are saying there is lurking danger here. We cannot continue this way. This is potentially catastrophic for us as a country, as we are seeing right now in Brazil, for example. We have examples of this type of situation around us. When I last checked Jamaica's figures, Jamaica had about 14,000 cases. That's my recollection. And you got to do something to stem it. That's what it's about. But it's tough. It's a harsh decision because of what you have outlined, the economic fallout, and that there is a price that we have to pay in that regard. Can we recover working together from the economic fallout? Can we recover better from that than from overwhelming the system and causing death? And I want to say one more thing, you know. I hear people talk about the death and put the emphasis on the number of people who die. It is the people who have to live after they have suffered from COVID. Those people who tell you about the gout and the heart problems and this problem and that problem. Look, years ago I had chikungunya. And it took some of us, I recovered. But there are so many people in Barbados who tell you they haven't recovered from chikungunya yet. And that was something not as catastrophic and severe as this is. So that's why I favor putting a brake on it, as has been suggested. And then to say that we then have to recognize that we all have to be working together to pull this thing, pull the economy forward in these circumstances. So I treasure your view too. Huh? I'm glad that you raised it and you put it in that context so that I can put the alternative view to you. All right. Thank you very much. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
I know that COVID is the prime topic of concern at present. And I will hinge on that a bit. But when the Minister of Education came on yesterday, I thought that there would have been some kind of point made as to what is going on right now. Because while COVID is impacting all of us, when it comes to the online schooling, that plays another role in terms of what teachers, parents, and guardians are going through. Bearing in mind that children are at home, some unsupervised, teachers have to deal with the challenges that confronts them on a daily basis in terms of getting the children attention and a lot of other related challenges with teaching on the whole. And I really thought that the minister might have, you know, spoken on something as it relates to updates within the educational system, as it relates to the online teaching. So that is a cause for concern because it is very challenging. And all parents are not fortunate to have teachers who will give alerts as to, for example, you're at work as a parent, not knowing that your child is not in the classroom or not knowing that your child is disrupting the class, right? So my point really is that COVID is impacting all of us, even to the extent where it is affecting what is happening with the online teaching, because a parent cannot be at home and be at work at the same time to supervise a child. So this has a rippling effect all around us. So I will endorse your point where responsibility needs to be taken from all aspects. From the government perspective, I think some responsibility needs to be taken as to how long it took to get some results and, you know, all these different variations. And as citizens, I am still seeing a lot of irresponsibility, even in the small shops and supermarkets where people are crowding up under each other. So my point is, it's not just one thing or one area. Right, and I'm very much concerned about, like I said, the education as to what's happening with the online teaching is a sore point for me, because it's a very challenging process between teacher, parents and guardians, and children being home unsupervised. Even recently, there is a case in Trinidad, I think, where a child would have been involved in one of these apps that they load, hence the child is now dead. So I'm saying this whole COVID situation, we all have to pay attention to it very carefully and take responsibility for actions. Another point I want to make is that obviously we are already, in my view, you said that we can probably reach the point where we cannot bear the capacity. I am thinking that we are already somewhat to that point, because while persons may not be coming out and giving their experiences, it is obvious that the asymptomatic persons all were not contacted, and it cannot be easily traced, as it is sometimes coming over. So we have a problem, and action need to be taken, because there are persons who were tested, went into the facility, came out within a very short space of time. You hear the things about false positive testing. Never contacted the very closest persons within the home. So we obviously have a serious situation at hand, and these things are of concern. You know, so those are my main points to you this morning. I know that the Minister probably of Education will have to come back and speak on the education, because a lot of things, Mr. Ellis, are happening within the homes that you are not hearing about because parents are not coming out and speak about it. Another thing I want to say is that while it is appreciative that the devices were issued by the ministry, there are challenges with using the tablets for the online teaching. For example, there are programs that the children have to be engaged in using to submit the work to a teacher, and there are cases when it is not feasible to do so because it is not either can't get it downloaded on the tablet, and it is more useful on a laptop, for instance. So there are a lot, you know, there are a lot of challenges that the parents are facing. I'm not saying teachers are not facing it either, and something needs to be dealt with, and people need to come out and speak about these things, and see where we can resolve the problems, but we all have to take responsibility. That's my main view on that. I want to hinge on something another caller mentioned yesterday. You see, because people are suffering in a lot of other ways, not just COVID, you have past issues that we have not dealt with in this country. Somebody spoke about the tribunal yesterday, 2 years in waiting. There are people in 6-7 years in waiting, and mentally people are being affected by these problems. So my point is that there have to be responsibility taken, as I said before, across the board. No doubt about that.
Well, I think you've said quite a bit. And I think what comes to mind is the fact that there are many systems in Barbados that we have complained about bitterly over the years. In many ways, we have felt that Barbados has taken too long to make changes. And one of the potential positives coming out of the COVID situation is that we are now being forced to change. A fine example of that is the amount of time that we have wasted from time to time moving from one meeting to the next in Barbados. And today, we use Zoom. You know, prior to COVID, very few people would have known how to go on their phone and go on the computer and have a COVID meeting. But today, so many more people are now doing it. It has forced that upon us. And the same thing applies to the education system.
Correct.
There are some changes, some reforms that are being thrust upon us right now. It's going to be hard for us initially, but eventually we are going to see the benefit of doing this. We have spoken, for instance, about the traffic on the roads. Why is it necessary to have so much traffic on the roads? You may not be able to do as much online teaching as you have been forced to do now as you go into the future, but you can do more of it the more mature students and that sort of thing, you could reduce the extent to which they may have to go to community college and that sort of thing. So I think we have to recognize that there are going to be some teething problems, especially since you know that there were many inefficiencies that we needed to address. This
what
is the time to look at them.
What I can also say for parents, on a daily basis, engage your children in conversation as to how they should behave and how they should conduct themselves, because if they are disruptive within the classroom setting, it makes it difficult for the teachers to get the task done, and continue to speak to them. And, you know, these are the kind of things that we have to continue to do as citizens to be more responsible for our actions as well.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your contribution. Down to brass tacks.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, morning, how are you?
I'm fine, sir, thank you very much. I just want to, I don't know if I misheard Ms. Cynthia Bradshaw last night, but I believe that she said that she was selected to perform a certain role during this lockdown, and that is getting the care packages out to persons in need. I don't think she was actually, she was there to speak on education specifically, but a reporter did ask a point on the education issue, and she said that just this morning she was in conference and in meetings with teachers and principals, and everybody agreed that it was a difficult situation for all, yet they would, and they agreed to continue to work hard and work diligent, trying to do the best that they can do in the trying times to get the children, to get the teaching going forward online. But she never gave the impression that she was there to speak on education, and then she didn't. She said that she was selected by the Prime Minister to help put out, she said it was over 50,000 packages, which involve the participation of the Defense Force and the Ministry of Welfare and other agencies. So I don't understand. I don't understand why people felt that she shouldn't have been there at all. Can the Minister of Education not perform a particular task or a different task apart from education? I think she's quite capable, and I think she did a fantastic job in explaining how these packages are going to be performed, how these packages are going to be provided, and trying to get them out to people.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that...
What's your assessment?
Right, I thought that the Prime Minister made an excellent choice when she chose her to look after that area, along with Cynthia Ford. I thought that that was an excellent choice. I didn't see her there to speak specifically about education. Another thing, Mr. Ellis, that not all parents in this country put the focus and the necessary concern regarding their children's education in good times or bad times. Not all. There are many parents who can't be bothered, who don't have the time. They themselves, you know, don't seem to be very concerned about education. They don't put the focus on education, not for themselves and not for their children. We can't blame teachers. We can't blame the Prime Minister. Parents have to take responsibility for their children in their homes, Mr. Ellis. It is as simple as that. I mean, I know nothing about computers, but I went and bought one for my son. And I sat down every day, spraying my brain, trying to get to understand at least the basic simple things of how to help him to get online. Now, Mr. Ellis, he teaches me. Huh? He teaches me because he understands it much better than I do. You know? But just the mere fact of being present and showing an interest and a concern is all that was required of me for him. And that is what a lot of parents are not doing. They're not doing. And then we point fingers at everybody else, because that is the convenient thing to do. We cannot see COVID-19 as a BLP and a DLP thing. This is a global issue, Mr. Ellis. You can imagine that something like this happened in 2015, 2016, and 2017. Mr. Ellis, Crapo will be smoking the pipe all right now. Crapo will be smoking the pipe if this year had happened under the last administration. I think we are fortunate to have a government who is prepared to go all out. It is not perfect. No system is perfect. It is not going to be perfect within a couple of days. Not probably even at the end of this year, we're not still going to get it perfect. But each and every one of us must take responsibility and try to do the right thing. I never heard the Prime Minister said, stop wearing your mask. I never heard she said, it is all right now to do as we like. The messages throughout the year was the same. But did people listen? No. Did the government drop the ball? Of course the government dropped the ball when we quarantined all the visitors in the hotel and we didn't pay sufficient attention to the security. I agree with that. But Barbados also dropped the ball. We had a sense of comfort and complacency. Huh? Even today, Mr. Ellis, I was on the street and they spoke to two guys, why aren't you wearing a mask? Mr. Ellis, you know, Bajans, I get cursed black as white because that is the attitude. That is the attitude of a lot of Barbadians. I work at night, close to the road. The curfew starts at 9 o'clock, finishes at 6. Mr. Ellis, I sat down and I did a severe for myself. First, just to keep my eyes open. During the course of those hours, I counted 85 cars going in a northerly direction and 65 cars going in a southerly direction, Mr. Ellis. During the night, what that tells you, there are a lot of people out there who think, curfew be damned, I'm not going to get catch. It's not for me, you know? And they are putting everyone else at risk. Because this is the attitude of, this is largely, Mr. Ellis, the attitude of we Barbadians. We don't like to be told nothing. We don't like to be confined in no space. I mean, it's just for 2 weeks. I didn't agree with the shutdown either, but I realize now that it is important. But what is more important is that people who are caught and not doing the right thing should be heavily penalized. Should be heavily penalized as an example, because people are not, like you said, it's human behavior. It's not going to change unless there are penalties attached to the behavior.
All right, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. You said quite a bit. Thank you.